Hello and welcome to This Week in Quality. It is Friday, the 20th of March, and this is episode 128. My name's Ben Doan, also known as the Full Snack Tester, and I am here today with the most excellent Simon Tomes. Hello, Simon.
Hey there, Ben. Pleasure to co-host with you today. How you been? What's been happening in your week in quality?
So one of the most excellent things that happened to me recently, although it was actually last week, was going to the Testing Peers conference. But it's still recent enough in my mind to call it out. I had a lot of fun. It's really nice to be a just a normal delegate with a paid ticket and not have to volunteer or speak. I could just soak it all in and gather all the lovely learnings. And then this week I've been trying to do what I can to apply some of those learnings at work.
I love it. It's a nice feeling when you can just turn up to an event and just like, ah, take it all in, see what's possible. What would you say would be kind of one key learning that you took from that you would like to implement at your workplace, if you are able to share that, of course?
Absolutely. So there was absolutely loads of great learnings that are more meta that I think will come later. I can go over some of those, but I don't want to go on for too long. But there were some really practical things that I learned in a workshop with the fantastic Daniel Billings about playwright agents. And as I was mentioning to you a little bit ago, Simon, I do write a bunch of playwright, and I've been using AI more and more to write it. And I've already used a bit of playwright MCP, but some of the stuff Dan introduced me in terms of the actual official playwright agent was a lot of fun. So that's the planning agent, the tester generating agent, and the healing agent. And I hadn't actually had a chance to play with those before. So that was a very cool practical thing I will take away, is being able to go away and use those agents and give them a go.
I love it. And you probably guess what I'm going to say, Ben. That sounds like a moment you could, through your experiences of experimenting and seeing what's possible, yeah, post on the Modiverse, add a moment, share some of those learnings, and yeah, hopefully folks can also go, oh, that sounds interesting, and go check it out themselves and see what's possible.
Absolutely.
I can see some good chat coming in for those listening along live. Yeah, thanks for joining us today. And also to our listeners who are joining us via the podcast, welcome, welcome. It's great to have you here as well. I can see, I think, there is an update from Nadja Schultz, for those who are following along the toilet seat story, that they have an update. I think my dad installed it the wrong way. It now goes slowly when opening it, but slams when I close it. Ah, Nadja. Sorry that that's happened, but I'll be honest, it does make for a fun story. Ben, what's your hot take on that?
So I think it's fantastic because all the unit tests pass, but the integration test fails miserably. Yeah. And user acceptance has not been passed. So I think it's a great learning moment for how we've got perhaps all the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order.
Exactly. Oh, that's brilliant. But yeah, lovely to see more folks joining in on the chat. So, of course, hello to Gary, to Sean. We also have Judy joining us as well, and Pretty, and lots more folks jumping in as well. And my Than Van, good evening from Singapore. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for being here, My Than Van. And apologies if I have mispronounced your name. It's wonderful to have you join us today.
We have an update, Simon. The user acceptance test did pass. Apparently, Nadia didn't want the soft close feature anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there it is, right? And if ever there is a way to describe that, you know, we can make assumptions about quality, and it's the end user who can help define that. And if it meets their needs and they have an appropriate experience, there we go. That's all that matters.
I still think we need a Micah Briscoff test, although those of you who know, you know.
All right. Yes, I think I know where you're going with that one, Ben. Moving swiftly on.
Brilliant. Something, something code of conduct.
Yes, something, something code of conduct. Indeed, indeed. Welcome, Alexander. Finally got here. Good Friday, quality people. Yes, good Friday to you as well, Alexander. Welcome. That's a great way of describing the folks who join this week in quality, quality people, indeed. And we should continue the quality chat. So if you are new to This Week in Quality, myself and Ben are just going to have a little chit-chat, reflect on a few things that have been happening in the Motiverse. And then we're going to invite you up on stage. So we would love to hear from you. We want to know what you've been up to, what's been happening, some of the things you've been working on, some of the challenges you've been facing. Or if you just want to pop up and say hello, then you are more than welcome to do that. We'd love you to participate. But before we open up the invite and say join the stage, Ben, yeah, what would you like to share some thoughts around the Ask Motiverse Anything initiative that we launched recently?
I absolutely would. But before that, I'm going to be really cheeky and jump straight in with Thursday next week. Bit of a plug. Don't automate everything, review everything. Software Testing Live is back, baby.
Heck yeah.
Emily O'Connor will be joining me. The event is live over on ministryoftesting.com events, and it is going to be episode 6 of Software Testing Live, and I'm really excited about that.
Likewise, Ben. It is awesome. The previous episodes have been fantastic. I think just two quality professionals exploring together, seeing what's possible, sharing their thoughts and thinking process as they do that is very, very powerful. So yes, thank you for sharing, Ben, and the reminder. Mm-hmm. I know pre-live, we forgot to check in that we were going to share that, but I'm glad you remembered. So thanks.
Absolutely. So let's have a little bit of a look. So let me go back to your first question, which was Ask Me Anything. So we've done plenty of Ask Me Anythings in various forms in the world of Ministry of Testing and indeed the Motiverse over the years. But this latest one is powered by Moments. So we have a Ask Me Anything or Ask Motiverse Anything collection of moments. And various cool people have been throwing up their Ask Me Anything moment. And then people have been adding a comment in order to join in. And yeah, there's been some replies. So let's dig in. In fact, before we look at any of the replies, let's pick one of the topics and see if we can read out some of the questions. Maybe we can collectively, please join in the chat, see what we think about these topics. So I'm going to go for one that isn't me or you. Let's go for Cassandra.
Ah, yes. Cassandra's one was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, AMA.
It's so good. Ask me anything about quality beyond correctness, which is such a cool topic. So Cassandra writes, inspired by the following challenge, create a moment, ask much of us anything. When we think about quality, many of us jump to ideas of checking against requirements and verifying acceptance criteria. Does the toilet seat close softly? But quality, I added that bit in, editorial.
Wouldn't it have been quality amazing, though, if Cassandra had actually had that? I mean, how surreal.
I mean, they could definitely have had that foresight, I have no doubt. But quality is more than just correctness. A product could be completely built to spec and still add no value for the end user. Or like Nadia's toilet seat, completely miss some of the core specs and still be useful enough to be valuable. If you want to really help create good quality products, which brings real value, ask me anything about quality beyond correctness. Simply add a comment with your question. So let's have a look. In fact, before I jump into the questions, because there are some great questions, and I think Cassandra's even started to answer some of them. Is anyone in the chat have a thought about quality beyond correctness? Feel free to add it in the chat. Oh, you've put one in here, Simon.
Yes, yeah.
So Simon writes, how do personas support quality beyond correctness? That's a good one. So
I thought Cassandra's answer did a great job of sharing thoughts around personas. So it's kind of like, well, we might not need to go into the detail of that particular answer, I guess the principle is that folks are asked these questions as a comment, and it just gives people time and space to reply separately and away from that original post. Like, mm-hmm. I think sometimes we can get caught up in threaded conversations. People can see a reply to a thread and then perhaps get influenced by where that conversation has gone. So there's something about people taking it away and posting separately and linking back to the original post. And I know it sounds a bit convoluted, but that reason to slow down and help someone go, you know what, I'm just going to focus on answering this question and I'm going to post it here. And it exists in its own learning block as one thing, yet it's also connected mm-hmm. to the bigger thing. There's something about that I think that perhaps we've been missing as we get caught up in fast-paced social media, which is just about, you know, scroll, 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 react, 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 and not slow down and stop to answer something. The other side of it as well, for people who do answer, it really builds their credibility. Every moment appears as a separate item on their Motiverse profile page. So Google will find that information. Various AI-based tools that people use will find people. So it's a real good way for people to build their credibility. And also the people who ask the questions, when they get tagged, it appears on their Motiverse profile mm-hmm. as well. So that kind of, I think perhaps we can sometimes think that I just need to answer questions to contribute. The act of asking a question is also a form of contribution. And that's why I think it's really cool when both the question asker and answerer get credit for doing what they've done.
Yeah, big fan of the community algorithm. We haven't spoken about that one a little while, yes. But it's all part of that community algorithm.
Yeah, got to get those stars. And eventually we are working on the badges. We haven't quite worked out the automated part of it, but people who do, first of all, put themselves out there will get a badge. We just need to work on that and design on it. Mm-hmm. And also the number of answers. So if you answer one, you might get a certain type of badge. Maybe you answer 20, you get another type, and 99, et cetera, et cetera. But we're still ironing out the finer details. Yeah, there's going to be badges to be had. That's all I can say right now.
And of course, you need to make sure you also work on the mushrooms so that you get badges, 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 mushroom.
Brilliant.
Sorry, I'm just getting into the spirit of this being a little bit retro.
I love it. That's a brilliant reference. But yes, coming back to some of the questions. Well, how about this, Ben? Should we get people up on stage to share their thoughts about those questions? So maybe the quality beyond correctness is a great one. So mm-hmm. I don't think I shared the link to it yet as I'm getting caught up in chatting. But there is the collection. For those who are following along live, you can see that there are 5 questions that Cassandra has been asked. If you're up for it, you could join us up on stage and attempt to answer those questions as well. Now, the cool thing here is if you come up on stage and you answer it, come back to the recording of the podcast, look at the transcript, look at what you said. You can literally bring that and turn that into a reply on the moment as well. So you could answer that question as well. There's nothing stopping people from doing that. And we're curious to see if people jump in on other people's answers and reply. So there's a bit of that as well. So if you want to start kind of exploring some of your thoughts around these topics, then join the stage and jump in. You know, there's no right or wrong answers. We're just here to explore together.
Yeah, I'm going to read a little bit of what's in the chat as well. Let's have a look. I think some people are already joining in. So we've got one here from Alexander who says, another question to explore, what is correctness?
Oh, yes. And just sorry to interrupt you there, Ben. I would say, Alexander, post that on the original AMA. So Cassandra would see that notification and they can officially go and answer it with a new moment.
Absolutely. And then Sean has a response. I genuinely love to see the pedantry in the QA space because words matter. That's good. Love that. AD Stokes, right? If something is correct, but we don't know why, does it really have any value? Ooh, AD's getting deep again. Correct without context or action doesn't really help anyone. Ooh, that's deep. And then AD responds to AD's own post. Of course, the first answer is, it depends. It
depends. Where is that t-shirt, AD, with the word, it depends on it?
That's great. Judy also responds to AD and says, we've been talking about this at work. The why is so important. Yeah. I'm going to go one step further and say, controversially, the why is the reason you make money. And correct is that you keep making the money. And I know that sounds a bit cutthroat, but ultimately, if people stop buying things or they buy less of it or they don't renew their contracts and they speak with their wallet, it's the ultimate signal that things are not correct and do not have value. And the converse to that is if things are correct, but people don't know how to get the value from them, then you're not going to be able to get the inverse. You're not going to get the bigger sales, the more money, the more renewals. So to me, that's why the why matters, is because however good the software is, if your customers, your users aren't getting the value of it, they're not going to part with their hard-earned cash.
Oh, yeah, Ben. I like your thinking on that and explaining it in those kind of hard terms, which is fair enough. You know, maybe we don't talk about that enough.
Indeed. I mean, of course, it may be that the particular product that you're producing, monetary gain is not the ultimate measure. There could be some other metric, which goes back to it depends. I mean, if your metric was, I don't know, the emergency response service could get to more call outs and help more people, that could also be your metric. But effectively, you need to figure out what I like to call the frozen peas metric, which comes back from a previously being told by a customer, if this doesn't help us sell more frozen peas, we don't want to know. It's like you've got to figure out what matters to your customers and use that as your guiding star metric. Lots of other cool things been posted, though, so not about me. Let's have a look. Alexander says, be prepared when the manager asks, are you sure the feature works correctly?
Yes, the classic.
Did you want to read any more of these out?
Yeah, I was just going to look, actually. I see, related to just what you shared there, Ben, and what folks are getting at in the chat, there was that good question from Emily O'Connor to... Mm-hmm. Cassandra, and Emily says, how would you persuade engineers and product owners to prioritize bugs and features that go beyond acceptance criteria? So I think to your point, Ben, about, you know, building the right product, and Emily says, as you say, a product could be completely built to spec but still add no value for end users. How should testers and quality professionals raise this to ensure their voices are really heard? And I think Cassandra, just I'll share a few things that they mention. Cassandra says, when advocating for certain bugs to be fixed or features to be implemented, I really like to highlight the impact. What difference could it make to someone's life if we were to implement this? How could we be causing harm to people by failing to fix this? How might doing this help us to stand out from our competitors and grow our user base? In the past, I've even written internal documentation on user impact stories, a small set of short stories demonstrating a difference in impact if we were to implement, fix something versus leave it untouched. Oh, that's very cool. The key is to focus on real world consequences and inspire human empathy. Oh, that's it. That's a mic drop, that paragraph. It's wonderful.
Cassandra puts it so much more caringly than I do, and I love it.
Indeed. Hey, this is all good, Ben. We can say things the way we want to say things and interpret it the way we want to interpret it. And I think that's the good thing, right? This is the whole point of the AMA, is people can do stuff and go, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that, or I put it like this. And I think that's what makes it exciting.
I've had the pleasure of briefly working with Cassandra. They are very good. I also love the the last bit that Cassandra puts there, which is, on the other side, I've also used the question of impact to advocate for not fixing or implementing certain things. Here, not only do I highlight the absence of any positive impact, but also the negative impact of spending time, energy, and other resources on things that A, meaning that that thing B and benefit B will not be realized in the product next X period. Okay, I stumbled across that sentence, but I think I know what she means. Implementing thing A could even reinforce poor or inefficient process. Okay, so what Cassandra's saying there is you can use this for both ways, for advocating for and against implementing things. And I think that's really important, because I think sometimes when I've come across things that are maybe things I feel should be fixed, making sure I spend the time to realize, does it matter? Like, so what? Is really important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of reiterates part of the role, I guess, around quality engineering, that we're not just kind of looking at the quality of products and services that we're building, but also the processes. So kind of, if we're building habits around making, not being able to make good choices or helpful choices because we don't have the right data, or we don't have the right feedback, we don't have the right information, you know, that kind of opportunity to improve processes as well as part of our role as quality engineers, I also find interesting.
Absolutely. Sean asks, how do we rectify human empathy definition with the profits definition proposed by Ben? We don't have to. Two things can exist at the same time.
Indeed.
Controversial.
Indeed.
I mean, not to say it depends, but what I would say is it depends on your audience. Who are you trying to advocate or influence on behalf of or to? Who, and what is your audience likely to respond to? Are they likely to respond to the idea of profit, or are they more likely to be influenced by the human empathy, the need? Sometimes you need both. Sometimes you could focus on only one or the other, depending on knowing your audience.
And I see that Alexander is trying to open up a "it depends" black hole that will soak the whole world inside of it through 80s Ask Me Anything About Anything.
But no, crucially, 80s Ask Me Anything About Anything, but all the answers are "it depends."
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, I see where this game is going. Let's move on to a whole nother question, because we could go on forever, but let's instead
let's have a look who's joining us today and connect up with any of those folks. Have I'm just trying to see if Gary has joined us, and I'd be wondering.
I've seen a Gary.
So Gary's started an AMA about leadership. Ooh. Which is brilliant. You know, Gary says, "I learned leadership the hard way, promoted with only external coaching to be the go-to guy in development and testing in a number of organizations. I made a lot of mistakes in this leadership journey, crashing into walls, trying to behave as a leader should, until gradually I found myself and the kind of leader I wanted to be." Which I just thought was brilliant. When I read that, I was like, yeah, you found yourself the kind of leader you wanted to be. So if Gary, wanted to join us and share some thoughts, there has been just one question that happened to be asked by myself about can you share a story about an early days leadership light bulb moment? These moments where you look back and you cringe a little bit, thinking, if only I'd known that before I'd become a people manager, I might have behaved a little bit differently before I became one. But yes. So Gary, if you are listening, you'd be welcome to join us. But Ben, I see that Priti Gupta has joined us backstage. So
let's
get you up on stage, Priti.
Hello, everyone. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are, Priti. How you been? How's your This Week in Quality?
Yeah, thank you for having me on stage. And This Week in Quality, it was really a good one. Yesterday, I attended an event in London, Optimal High. Our own Gary Shannon was the host, and it was brilliant. As you all know, that for me, traveling to London is a bit far. But I always remember Judy's statement for coming on stage. She once posted that all you need is to raise your hand. Similarly, I feel like if you're interested in an event or to go somewhere where you enjoy catching up with meeting people, catching up with folks, all you need is to step out of your house. So that was the thing yesterday. And when I went there, I see a lot of faces there. And I was surprised, few people asking me about, it's been ages since I met you. I think you were there in MotorCon last year. And after that, you're coming now. I was like, yeah, after that, this is the first time after MotorCon, I get a chance to attend any event. So being so much busy with the work and all. But it was really good to meet and catch up with people whom I met as a part of MotorCon, Test Bash, and few of other meetups, MOT meetups. It's really good to catch all of those folks. So it was wonderful with respect to the quality meeting week. And with respect to like the topic we are talking about right now, quality beyond correctness. So I felt like I should speak few things how I feel about correctness versus quality. Let me take one example. So as a tester, I have like plenty of knowledge, for example, about the domain knowledge, the tools, technology, and everything. And if I catch a bug in a software, I want to report a bug, for example. And if I report it like a null pointer exception is thrown when for invalid input provided. I think it is more technical, it is more readable and understandable. But rather, developer, we are like not providing much information except the technical part only. And if somebody like developer tries to work on it, he would say, oh, it works on my machine. And if any non-technical person is coming there, say, what is null pointer? What is this? Is this bug really important for the release? That's how it will go. But if we make it more clear, like reporting it as in like if a user enters a special character in password, then app crashes and data is lost. Same thing is written, but in a simple words, which can be understandable by both technical, non-technical person. So it is a point where we are thinking from a quality perspective to report a bug. It's just an example to see where it is correct. In both sense, we are correct, but how we are reporting it, how we are trying to communicate it, the same issue, it matters. So that's why we are into like a quality people, quality team, wherever we think is what is the better way to communicate anything, how we can move ahead so that broader audience can understand. It's not only about the correctness, how well it can be communicated beyond whatever knowledge we are having. That's how I feel quality beyond correctness works. Another example I can say, whenever like we are defining a function, let's say function taking the parameters as A and B, and sum A and B, and the result would be C, which is producing the sum of those A and B. That's fine for a technical person can understand what that method or function is doing. But if the same thing is written like function, first number, second number, and the third number would be the sum of these two numbers, it's more clear, it's more quality. In terms of correctness, both are correct, but what is more easily communicating, that matters. So this is how I feel quality over correctness is.
Wonderfully shared, Priti. Thank you. I literally wrote on my notes, communication over correctness. I was like thinking, communication beyond correctness. I feel like you're onto something there. And again, I'm going to say it would make for a good moment, that's for sure, to summarize that. Or perhaps, you know, maybe there's one of the AMA moment answers that Cassandra has written already that you feel like, oh, you know what, I could comment on that and add to it. But of course, feel free to to post a fresh moment as well with your thoughts on that. That's brilliant. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Definitely, I'll post it. And the thing I like, AMA, I saw this thing 2 days back and I thought that I'll go through one and one. And I feel like this is like a brilliant opportunity for us to see who have that expertise in that particular area. And if I want to ask some questions, I have people upfront to whom I should go and ask. That is a brilliant idea, I would say.
Oh, appreciate that. And you make a good point, Priti, around expertise. So I think during my career, just a very quick reflection, I shied away from the term expert. I think it got taken down as a word that we should never use, but I'm actually flipped that on its head. And I think people should feel confident to say they are an expert on a topic. It doesn't mean they know everything, of course, that's impossible, but it does mean that they have experiences, they have knowledge, they have opinions, they have evidence to back up that they know stuff about a particular thing. And I really encourage everyone listening today to think about like, oh yeah, I am an expert in that. And I know we have imposter syndrome. I know folks can self-doubt and they might not see their knowledge and experience that others can see in them. So I'd also encourage people to encourage other people to give it a go and say, ah, oh, you know what? I know you talk about this stuff quite a bit. Why don't you go for it with an AMA? Because that person may not know that they are as good as they are at that thing. So I think just go for it, right? You've just got to go for it and be a little bit brave. You've got to be bold and put yourself out there. If you want a little hack, and I tried this the other day, put your name into something like Gemini or Perplexity or whatever your LLM model AI of choice is, and just say, put the person's name in and say, you know, this person could do an AMA. What could they do an AMA on? And just see what comes back. It's a little bit of fun, but it will also spark some ideas as well. Ben, go for it.
Yeah. I mean, very well put, Priti. I do like that a lot. I think it was a good perspective that you bring. I think it can really be very beneficial to have both, as you say, information about where the problem is and effectively some clues for the developers, like where to start debugging, some kind of clear example of what the behavior is and what things that you've tried and what system, you know, state the system was in. And then it's also really useful to have the information about what is the impact, right? Like, why does it matter that this bug is present? And what I tend to find, what I tend to follow is, if it's some feedback that I'm giving before a feature is live, or before, like if I get in there early enough and I'm testing before the thing gets to customers, then I focus more on giving the developers what I would expect it to do and why I would expect it to do that, and giving them a clue about what it does instead to try and direct them to make it the lowest possible cognitive load for them to put effort in for fixing it, so that they don't even worry about like why they're just, oh yeah, okay, no problem, douche, there it is, fixed, bosh, move on. But if it's a problem that customers are seeing, then I really like to try and understand as much as possible what is the impact, to figure out like how urgently we need to fix this, right? Like how much do we need to stop everything, or how much can we go, you know what, that sounds like something we should absolutely fix, but if we take a couple of weeks to get it right, that's fine. And maybe there are things that are urgent that are across it. So like getting that priority based on the customer impact can be really important. So it's like you need both, but sometimes you need both for the same reason, but you also need both because sometimes you need to know how urgently to shout. And sometimes you need to know what instructions to give to developers. So, yeah, both very important. Said too much, we could move on and make sure other people can speak.
Gary Hawkes is backstage waiting to join us. So, Priti, thank you for sharing. Please do stick around on the stage and jump in whenever you'd like to. But let's get Gary up on stage.
Welcome. How you doing?
Yeah, doing great, Gary. It's good to see you during another TWIC, and lovely to have you up on stage. Yeah, how's your week in quality been? What's been happening?
Yeah, well, I've kind of like got that that kind of Motiverse overwhelmed feeling this week, because I had a fantastic chat with Ben and Kat Obring, and it triggered me with a lot of ideas. I was also at the PeersCon as well, and I had like a raft of notes that I'd taken from there as well. And so this week has kind of been bringing kind of all of that together, and I had like this quite a hyper conversation with product managers who don't leave the room. I think it's that I was literally machine gunning all these ideas about how we could work a little bit differently, and I was meant to be, and we talked about it in our chat, like doing kind of baby steps, but I was reeling off baby step after baby step after baby step. But yeah, so it's been really, really empowering having all these chats and sort of listening to the community and the chat that I had to like just enable me to think a lot differently. And so that's the kind of overwhelming bit, is that I've got I need to put the thoughts in order. But I had a chat today about one specific project that we could do differently. So that's, if you like, the first baby step, is like, okay, this is a candidate that we could start to try some stuff with. So, and that's kind of like, you know, with the testing working differently and trying to drop the mini waterfalls that I was talking about in our chat, and trying to get testers working directly with developers a lot more, and trying to prevent the back and forth that we're going to do. And that's one of the things. But there's also, I tend to think sometimes, it's one of the things I mentioned, is there's a lot of focus when we say about going faster of its engineering, it's developers and QA that need to go faster. But there are other constraints, and you'll go as fast as the slowest cog in the machine. If that's product, you'll go as fast as product can go. If it's DevOps, you'll go as fast as DevOps can go. If it's the customer, you'll go as fast as the customers can go. So it really is, there's a lot of things to improve and influence. But I've literally got that kind of fresh enthusiasm to tackle the things I can tackle and try and influence the things I can't. So yeah, it's been really cool.
That's awesome, Gary. I love the thing, your thoughts around the cog as well. It reminds me of a team building exercise I went on many, many years ago, where part of one of the exercises, and it was a bit of a peculiar one, but it was worth it. We had a massive skipping rope, and we had a load of us trying to jump over the skipping rope, and it was, you know, very silly and a lot of fun. But the point was, you know, if you're not supporting at least one other person, and one person stops the skipping rope when everyone else can jump it, and it's like, okay, well, it stopped, and it's we've got to support everyone to be able to jump and kind of go with the rhythm of the rope and build a good cadence and kind of work together.
Yeah.
So maybe think about that. And Gary, your AMA about leadership. This is exciting. I'm excited to encourage people to ask questions on it. So for those following along live, I'm going to share a link in the chat as well. But yeah, what's your thinking, Gary, on this one? What was your motivation to jump in?
Yeah, well, I've kind of, leadership has been my niche, I think, I'm going to sound cheesy, but it has kind of like been my calling. Is, And like I said in the one article that I wrote, and I go through kind of six mistakes I made on my leadership journey, and then two of those I came out of leadership because I thought, oh, maybe this is not for me. But when I did that, I was always coming back. I was always wanting to influence. I was always wanting to make things better. But I kind of realized over time, you know, what those mistakes were, and I'm very. And like you said, it's like claiming that I'm an expert, you know, is that certainly not. And it's literally, I'm going to pick something what AD said. Everyone is an expert at being themselves. And I definitely wasn't at the beginning. I wasn't definitely not being myself as a leader. I thought I was, but I was playing, especially at the beginning, a stereotypical role that I thought I needed to fulfill because my boss wanted me to be a leader. So I needed to be the kind of boss that my leader would like. And I needed to defend my team from bad things and everything like that. And over those kind of mistakes, that, and I'm quite open about that. And I like looking back at those things and compartmentalizing them, packaging them up to say, yeah, I learned from all of that. And it's because of that that I do feel I'm better now. And like I say, with the conversations I'm having now, I'm still learning and I'm still getting better. There's still things I need to influence that I haven't been considering and I've been sitting still. So just bringing that AMA in there is, yeah, just opening that up, because it isn't just about me saying I've got all the answers. I definitely haven't. But hearing other people's questions based on their experiences, I think it isn't just like, say, me that will get something out of that. And I think it's the same with all the AMAs, is that if you look at them all, everyone's going to get something out of the answers and the questions and the thoughts. So, yeah, I just thought I'd throw myself in and try and contribute to that. Yeah.
Oh, good on you, Gary. I'm so glad you have. I mean, there's, yeah, lots of good things for you to share. And that photo on your AMA about leadership, is that your team or one of your previous teams?
Well, it's about three years ago, me trying to pretend I'm not wearing glasses, even though the glasses are discreetly hidden in a pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And a baseball hat that doesn't quite fit, so I've decided to take it off. But yeah, this was kind of, again, one of the things, one of the aspects of the article I wrote is I've submitted another article that's drilling down into one of the points. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but yeah, it's drilling down on one of those points. And as you can see, hopefully with that team, I mean, unfortunately, the team, that was about 3 years ago. The team had shrunk to that point, and now it's shrunk, unfortunately, even more. But two of them are still there. Yeah, so yeah, it was a very diverse team in every sense. And it was wonderful, wonderful to have that. And it made the world of difference to me. So, but it was one of those kind of photos that's a kind of pivotal moment of like, yeah, this is the kind of team that I want to be leading. And yeah, so unfortunately it's got a bit smaller now, but yeah, it's been quite a journey that, yeah.
Oh, good on you. It's an awesome photo. I love it. Fantastic. Well, Gary, I appreciate you putting yourself out there. I think, yeah, definitely encourage our listeners today to go and find that moment and ask a question, you know, anything around leadership. I mean, it's a mega topic, right? So many parts to it, so many ways you can interpret what leadership means and how it affects us. And yeah, I mean, so many options there. So yes, for those listening today, please do go for it. Please ask Gary some questions. To amplify your point there, Gary, whatever the answers are will be of benefit to a lot of people, you know, yourself as the person answering it, anyone who's reading it, someone who's perhaps facing similar challenges or is about to or hasn't considered a certain perspective. So I think it's a great way for us to work on our empathy skills as well, to try and understand each other and, you know, get different perspectives on things. That's really a really important part of an AMA, is to help us get perspective and understand each other a little bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, cheers, Gary. Please do stick around. Ben, I see some stuff going on in the chat. Do you want to summarize what's been happening?
Oh, you caught me. Yep, I have. So we were talking at some point about being an expert and being an expert in yourself. And I may have thrown out there that if anyone else is better at being me, I'd love to meet them, because maybe they know where the readme is, because I've never managed to find it.
Brilliant.
And then we spoke a little bit about a topic that's been raised before, which is the idea of writing a readme about yourself to post at work, so people know a bit about who you are and how you like to interact. I think it's been mentioned a few times in, I think, some talks and some articles, usually around the idea of neurodiversity, but also for other purposes. So it is a good concept. So that's a good one to put out there. Yeah, Manual of Me, that's the thing. That's the one. Thank you, Sean. So yeah, it's a cool thing.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I loved hearing from you, Gary. Sorry to interrupt you there, Simon.
I was just saying,
I loved hearing you there, Gary, talking about how excited you were after our chat this week. So for those listening to This Week in Testing who haven't seen our Call for Insights conversation, which is available for pro members over on Ministry of Testing, do you want to summarize a little bit about the core of the conversation, or do you want me to share that?
Well, we can share the responsibility of that. I think the interesting how it all started was a Slack conversation where Ben was bearing his soul on a frustration that he was suffering from, not necessarily that day, but maybe sometime. I don't know. Ben can explain that, where the kind of like pull requests where the testing was being built from were not moving very fast. And it was frustrating him. And Kat came in as well, almost telling him to be a bit more vigorous with that. And of course, from me, I wasn't afraid to sort of say, I don't know how that works. So can you explain to me how that works? And so then we obviously then had a chat about it. And so it was kind of talking about, you know, the frustration of having to deal with it, and also me talking about understanding, you know, how I currently work right now and what are the big benefits of working this way and getting testers closer to the developers and getting involved in while the developers are working. So yeah, so that's where it all came from, and that's where I got my excitement from. It's from that conversation. I got a lot out of that.
I love that very much, Gary. Yeah, so to give a little bit more context, my original post was about, especially for those of you in the audience who know, you know, it was those pull requests that were not only had been open for a long time, but had been approved for a long time, and were just sitting there gathering dust, not having been merged in on the product. So they were entirely wasted. They'd gone through the effort of being written, maybe they even had a ticket, they'd gone through the effort of being reviewed and being approved, and then we just left the value sitting on the table because they hadn't been merged in. And there was no real indication for any of them why they hadn't been merged in, whether some problem had been found or they shouldn't be merged in, or whether someone just forgot about them. But there was a lot of them. So there's like a whole load of pull requests that were gathering dust that just hadn't been looked at. But so many of them had already been approved. I was like, oh my word. But I mean, it wasn't really a frustration. It was more of a realization of, oh my goodness, I found this thing. And it's not a thing about testing, but it's a thing about quality, right? It was a thing about working with developers. And it was an opportunity for me to kind of turn around to the development teams like, hey, yeah, you know, all these pull requests we've got open and loads of them are approved. You fancy either closing them or merging them, because leaving them just sitting there ain't helping no one. But it was a great chat, and it's such a pleasure to have a share the room with Kat Obring. Kat is so bloody good. I think we both learned things on the call from Kat.
And this is the great thing. These call for insights can just happen, right? So at Motiverse, we can set them up. We can just say, hey, here's a place where you can gather and record. It could be two people, could be three people, press record, and then we can turn that into an insights article with an embedded video, and then it's there ready for people to access. So this is, you know, let us know, folks, if there's things you want to talk about, we can pair you up with someone and then literally press record and you can have that conversation. And we just, you know, encourage you to just go for it. Put out these conversations. I think there's more to be, there's real good value from these sorts of conversations being recorded, and for the people who are on the call, there's the benefit, of course. And for those that will then end up watching or listening or reading, you know, even if it's reading part of the transcript, that in itself is very valuable as well. So yeah, and it's great that this stuff can get recorded and we can do things with it. So yeah, we don't want good conversations to go to waste. So press record and it's all good.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity. You heard it here first, if you've had the chance to go and read that conversation. I think there's two or three good talks that could be keynote speeches level of talk hidden just within that one conversation. So there's a lot of early thinking that could be even more later. So if you're interested in that, and I think that's true of many of the Call to Insights conversations. So it's a really cool way to capture some of that early thinking that may or may not ever become content otherwise, but now they are, and now the thinking's out there, and that's cool.
Yeah, and the folks who are on these calls are, you know, it's a technique for articulating their ideas and just to see what's possible, which is also another wonderful part of it. Great, Ben, I see we are coming close to the hour. So the final thing I want to share is I want to encourage people to check out the Observatory. If you're unfamiliar with the Observatory, think of it as the bookmarking tool on the Motiverse. So you see something interesting out in the interwebs, could be a YouTube talk, a video, could be someone else's blog, could be an article you read elsewhere, whatever, right? Anything interesting that you think is happening in the world of tech, you can add that as a link to the Observatory. The cool thing about this is those Observatory items, they're connected to the community algorithm. So if people are marked as a contributor, they will receive a star. Everyone clicks on that link, which is very cool. Also, it's a way to spark ideas. It's a way for you to read something interesting and then turn your reflections of what you've learned into a moment. So again, that also connects to the community algorithm. The other part of it is we are being bold and we are saying that the Motiverse is a tech community. And we want to invite more people in from other disciplines in the world of tech. As part of that, we've updated the categories on the Observatory. So if you have a look at it today, we now have 15 sections. We've got quality engineering, leadership and engineering management, AI, systems thinking, accessibility, UX and design, security and risks, tech careers, test automation, development and coding, product management, delivery practices, data and analytics, architecture and infrastructure, and finally, operations and reliability. We are there boldly pulling information in from around the world. So please help contribute. Consider going to the Observatory and adding a link today. This is a great way for you to build contributions. It's just yet another way that you can contribute to the Motiverse and help others. So do go check out the Observatory if you haven't done so today. All righty, Ben, any final thoughts before we sign off?
Yes, you should all come to Software Testing Live next week. I will see you there.
100%. Woo woo. Brilliant. Thank you, Ben. It's been a pleasure to co-host with you today. Thank you to Priti and Gary for joining us up on stage. Wonderful to hear from both of you today. And for everyone who's joining us on the podcast, thank you very much for tuning in and lovely to see all the chat. It's been a hive of activity and we're very grateful that people really do get involved and stuck in. I actually need to, because I hadn't at the start and I forgot, I need to check everyone in. So if you have been on the chat, that's been wonderful. It allowed me to check you in to say that you joined this event. You got a star for registering and you get a star for attending. So it all adds up. So I will go and do that after we close off today. But thank you very much, folks. And we'll see you around the Motiverse. Bye for now.